morning, everybody. It's nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me here. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd care to read with me, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And God will bless the public reading of his precious word. Alcatraz Penitentiary, ran for a long, long time outside of San Francisco in the water, Pacific Ocean, and it's closed now. That's blowing my pages all around me. I'm going to turn it like that. There. It's closed now, but they do take people there on tours and then go through it and see the men who were there. And on one of the walls of one of the cells, they found an inscription that was written, if you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading. The man who wrote those words was obviously a man who didn't change direction, and he ended up where he was heading. He lived a life of crime. I don't know what crimes he did, but whatever crimes he did, he ended up in Alcatraz Penitentiary to live out his days and die an old man in there. Change direction. And that's what we have to do in order to be saved, is to change direction. We are born lost sheep. God tells us in Isaiah chapter 53, written 800 years before he came, tells us about our blessed Savior and about us, and it says about every one of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one to his own way. All everybody in the whole world were born blinded by the God of this world. It's a done deal. That word's done, blinded by the God of this world. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one of us to his own way. So to be saved is to turn. If you don't change direction, you'll end up where you're heading, and you're heading for hell right now. That is where you're heading. If anybody here this morning is here and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Lord of my life, Lord, surrendering my life to Christ, and Savior, my Savior, if you've never done that, then friend, you're not saved. Don't be thinking that you're a good person. Don't be thinking that because you live a good life, you're going to heaven. Because you're not. Nobody is. Not one person in this room is going to heaven because they lived a good life. Because God has already spoken, and He says there's none good, no, not one. Only God is good. That's what He said. Only God is good. None good, no, not one. That's the first truth we must really get a hold of. And if you're here and you're not saved, may God bless you this morning and get a hold of the truth. Friend, you're headed for hell. You're going the wrong way. We as God's people have stopped. I am ready to halt, said the psalmist in Psalm 38. I will be sorry for my sin. I'll be sorry, and I'm going to halt and turn to Him. Because my sin put Him on the cross. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to be in heaven with my Savior. And I now stop. I'm right now ready to stop. May God bless you. There has to be a time in your life when you do it, you know. There has to be a time in your life when you are saved. It's a miracle. God Himself comes and indwells your body. God Himself, imagine that. You don't think the same. You don't feel the same. Everything's different. We're in a brand new world now. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ one. And you must be born again. There's no getting around this, friend. I don't know. Maybe you're just drifting along, waiting. You can't get saved whenever you want to get saved. It doesn't work that way. A lot of young people think, you know, I'll get saved when I'm ready to get saved. Right now, there are things out there that I want. I'm going to get them. And when I'm ready to be saved, then I'll be saved. It does not work that way. When God calls, God says, come. When He says, come, you come, friend, come. If He speaks to your heart this morning, and you know God's calling you out of your sin, you know you're not saved, you know in your heart you're not saved, you have no personal connection to Christ. You're living your life for yourself. May God bless you. May you come to Him this morning, because time's running out. I firmly believe that with all my heart. Time's running out. Yes, He's coming back again. I will come again, He said. And the grim reaper, when is He coming? When is He coming into your life? We none of us know when. And when He comes, nobody debates with Him. You're gone. If you die in your sins, it's too late for you. May God bless you this morning. As we look at this young man, who had a desire. He had a desire to go his own way. Father, He said, give me that falleth to me. I want all that comes to me. It's that which belongs to me, that which I have a right to. I have a right to it. I want it. He desired that which he was entitled to, that he might live in life independently of God and go his own way. That's what he wanted. He didn't want to be under the restraints of his father anymore. He wanted to get out there in that world and do whatsoever he wanted to do. And the devil has people deceived today and thinking that if I get what I want, I'll be a happy man. I'll be a happy woman. I'll tell you now, no, you won't. You won't. Solomon said, I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing that my eyes desired in this world. And it was all vanity, emptiness, nothing. Froth. That's all this world is. It's just froth. And vexation of spirit. It'll vex your spirit. And you will not be happy young men and women in Christ. You won't be. You'll be miserable. All your life you'll be miserable if you don't turn to Christ. The desire we all have to live as I please. I can remember leaving my oldest son, Wade, at the university in Fredericton. He wasn't saved. He had three professions growing up.
Yes? I think he was baptized. Was he saved? My other son, same thing. My daughter, same thing. Up in a Christian home. I'm saved. Believe I'm saved, I'm saved. Baptized, baptized. Sitting in a meeting, breaking bread. And not even saved. They had no connection to Christ. Living for themselves, what they were doing. It was very solemn. Very, very solemn, friend. Are you saved? Really? Really, truly, are you saved? Are you in Christ? Living for Him. Living for Him, Him alone. Blessed is the man, right? Psalm 1. Blessed is the person separated unto God from this world. And verse 2 is saturated with the Word of God. Is this your life? Is the Bible your life? Do I meditate on His Word day and night every day of my life? I love the Word of God, and I love my Savior, and I abhor that which is evil, and I cleave to that which is good. Is that your life? I don't know. You know. I don't know. May God bless you. May you come to a saving knowledge of Him. I'm standing there. Again, my boy, I'm hugging him. I'm crying on his shoulder. Because I know he's not saved. And I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, I can't. He couldn't wait for Dad to leave. Yes. He's standing in his dormitory. Pastor Wells, there was a meeting in Fredericton, and I hope you'll go to meeting. Oh, yeah, I'll be going to meeting, Dad. You can count on me. I'll read your Bible, son. Yeah, oh, I'll be reading my Bible. Yes. And I knew. He told me. I said this after the meeting. He told me. You know, he was in the meeting. They saved now. My son saved. My daughter saved. Yes, they are. Happy they are. Thank God they are. Wade could not wait for the car to get up over the hill and gone. And I could see him almost like this. Yes, I am free. I'm free now to do what I want to do. And so he went about doing it. And he almost died twice. God preserved him and saved his precious soul. That's a very dangerous game to play, to think that I can do what I want to do and I can get saved whenever I feel like it. Friend, it does not work that way. Luke chapter 19 is a parable. And it says there, the citizens of the world, the citizens of the world, they hated him. He said, oh, I don't hate God. You say, oh, I don't hate God. I don't hate him. Yes, you do. Yes, you do hate God. We all do until we're saved. We have him down deep in the depths of our heart at the bottom in a little box. And on the box is written hate. We hate God. We do. That's why there's gnashing of teeth in hell. It's anger. Angry at God all through eternity. What an awful state to be in. Imagine just that alone. When somebody's angry, that's how you will be if you die in your sins. And they sent a message after him in the parable, Luke 19. And they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. We won't have it. If you're not saved, that's probably why you're not saved. You don't want him to reign over you. You don't want him to. You want to do your own thing. Go your own way. Do your own thing. You know you need to be saved, and you plan to get saved someday, and the devil says, good, you just live that way, one day at a time. He never says there's no heaven, and he never says there's no hell. He says there's no hurry. And that's how he keeps people in their sins. So he takes his departure. He took his journey into a far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. He just lived abandonedly. There were no restraints in his life. And then the whole thing here is the world. The whole picture here is of somebody, a young man, gone from home, out in the world. The world is here. This is the world. It's called that land, fields, that country, in the field. Genesis 25, 27, Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Genesis chapter 27, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field. The world, that's the world. And consistently in the Word of God is the world. Far country, far away from God is this world. No use for God whatsoever, none. If you're not saved, that's where you are. There's nothing in this world to satisfy anybody. And I know what I'm talking about because I was 30 years old before I was saved. And I had all kinds of things. All the things you can think of, I had them. I had them all. success road, religious road, different roads in my life. There's nothing out there. There's a rock, a big stone over in Ireland. And on the rock it says this, turn me over and I'll tell you more. Kind of intriguing, isn't it? Turn me over and I'll tell you more. I wonder what's inscribed on the other side of that stone. That's the world. Turn me over and I'll tell you more. Turn the rock over. It says, now turn me back as I was before. It's a mocking stone. It's a mocking world. It's mocking you. It's mocking you, what it's doing. And Satan is the god of this world, his world. His finger is in every pie. He runs the whole show down here. It's a battle for your soul, okay? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's not beholding iPhones. He's not beholding iPods, baseball stadiums and hockey stadiums and football stadiums. God's eyes are in the world. They're everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. That's it, sin. He's looking at people who want to be delivered from sin, and they get his full attention, those who want to be saved. May God bless you this morning. There's a graveyard down in Westbrook, Maine. I was there, and I saw the tombstone of a dear sister who died. Her name was Mary Hart, and on the tombstone is inscribed, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That is the death of a Christian, absent from the body, present with the Lord, instantaneously, speed of thought, I'm in glory. And right across from her tombstone is this tombstone, Ann Otis, 27, ever seeking what she never found. That's quite a sad epitaph on somebody's gravestone, yes? Ever seeking out there what she never found, what she was looking for. See, the devil keeps a great secret hidden from everybody. He's blinded your mind. It's Christ we're looking for. We're looking for Christ. We're looking for love. God wants love. He is love. All the attributes of God, love eclipses them all. God is love. He loves you. And what does he want from you? What does God want from you? Well, he wants your love. That's what he wants. He wants your love. He sheds it abroad in your heart the day you're saved. Sheds it abroad. Your heart's full of love for Christ, a measure of love, because he first loved us. That's what he wants. He wants you. He wants you, all of you, everything. Let your will to God be given, your will, not my will. He said, follow me 16 times, follow me. What did he mean? Matthew knew, didn't he? It was their word, receipt of custom. Jesus Christ saw him. He said, follow me. That's all. Matthew heard about him. He knew how he lived. Up he gets. Luke tells us he forsook all and followed him. And he wrote the book of Matthew. Follow me. Live like I live. How did he live? No secret how he lived. He told us again and again and again. I do always those things that please the Father. I do always those things that, not me, I don't spend my time wasting my life pleasing me. What a waste of time that is. I please my Father. That's what he's waiting for. He says, you follow me. Follow me, and I'll love you, and I'll bless your life, and you will never regret the day you come to me. You never will. 2,000 years plus, yes, calendar years, Roman calendar years anyway. You know, there's not one Christian who ever regretted the day they got saved. You think about that. How many generations of Christians have come and gone? Not one would say to you, I regret the day I trusted Christ. Not one. We are a happy people on the way to heaven. Our lives have purpose and meaning. And we do not waste our life. Our lives have purpose and meaning. I want to glorify the God of heaven with my life. That is what God is waiting for. Now his money's all gone. Then comes the drought. Just a comma. Then comes the drought. Spent all. And then a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He is now suffering need. He doesn't have anything. Spent all. You see the perfect timing of God. Do you see how God loved this boy? This famine is from God. His money's gone. At the exact moment his money's gone, there's a great famine comes in the land. Not an accident. This is written for our learning here, this parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly application. Spiritual truth is here in this place, the famine. God wanted to get his attention. He got his attention, didn't he? You know, all your life, God's been trying to get your attention. That's what we've been doing. That's what he's been doing, trying to get your attention. Hope he gets it this morning in the preaching of the gospel, which is the dynamite of God. A very simple message, isn't it? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. Yes? And he rose the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen, and he ascended, and that's the gospel, and it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. All you have to do is believe. With all your heart, you believe. Behold the goodness of God. A farmer said to his friend, you know, I got a donkey, and my donkey will do anything I say. He said, really? Well, they're a stubborn animal. I mean, how do you do that? You come and I'll show you. Brought him over to his farm, brought him in the barn. There's a donkey. He had a great big wooden plank, and he smacked him right over the head. And then the guy stood back and said, why did you do that? He said, well, I have to get his attention first. Then he'll do what I say. Well, God's been trying to get your attention, you know. Yes, 11-year-old boy named Sean Newman. He died 2 years ago. This poem came in the paper 1 year ago, this very night. Son Sean was called away to dwell with God in heaven's abode for eternity to stay. The boy was a Christian. When he was here and lived with us, our priorities were wrong. We worked hard to gain material things for money and riches, did we long. But when you lose the most precious thing that you ever hoped to possess, life takes on a whole new meaning. So that I must confess. I'm a better person now than what I was before. It took the losing of my son to send me in prayer to the floor. I wouldn't wish Sean back again. It would be for him most sad to snatch him back from heaven's gates, even to be with his dear old dad. So, since he can't return to me, I've made sure I'll go to him. I've invited Christ into my heart, my life, and to cleanse me from my sin. Now, that was an earthquake in that family. He was hit by a car riding his bicycle. That's an earthquake. How about that? How do you get a phone call like that? My boy's gone. It's gone. And it brought this man to Christ. God used that in his love to bring the man to Christ. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, Romans 2:4. And the great tragedy of mankind is this. And Job summed it up. God speaketh once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not. You know? Bumper sticker. Why did this happen to me? Why? Because God is trying to get your attention. God loves you. He loves you so much. How he loves you. And he longs you to come to him. But he will not force you. Now there's a deliberation here going on. Yes? A desire, a departure, now a drought. And when he came to himself, I perish with hunger. And he said, I have sinned against heaven. Well, I thought, what does came to himself mean? I didn't know what that meant. So I just looked it up. Not hard to find out these days. All the books available, it means the return of a sound conscience. He gave the boy, God in his goodness, gave the boy back a sound conscience, and he's thinking about his sin. God opened his eyes. You know, the people in the world, it says they have their portion in this life only. You know, it's a cold world out there. Very cold. Unfeeling. There's no compassion out there. Selfish, covetous people. Every man for himself. It's every man for himself out there. You'll find that out as you go along. This deliberation about his life, and his sin, living in that far country, it led to a determination, didn't it? I will. There's a boy, he's determined. Yes, I will. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I've sinned. And you've got to be determined if you're going to be saved. You have to be determined. God says in Jeremiah 29, when you seek me with all your heart, with all your heart. He knows your heart. Where's your heart? I don't know. Where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. I don't know what your treasure is. It must be Christ if you're going to be in heaven. It must be Christ. And one must be determined. And he says in Jeremiah 29, when you seek me with all your heart, so you'll find me. You'll find me. All your heart. Are you seeking him with all your heart? What do you think? Is this another ordinary gospel meeting for somebody? Is that what this is? Is this another ordinary gospel meeting? I'm hearing of me and my sin going down to hell. I'm not going to heaven, but I'm not getting saved today, though. Nope, going back out there and do my own thing. And I'll get saved when I want. And the devil will make sure the seed, the gospel message is stolen away from your mind and you will fall back to sleep. That's what you'll do. God says now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's now is high time. He's coming back again. Time's running out, friend. You got to get saved. Trust Christ as your Savior. Seek him with all your heart. People tell me that, and I say, no, you're not seeking God with all your heart. Sitting talking to a lady, a little brother and I, she has a soap opera on, and she didn't even turn it down. And we're talking to her about gospel meeting, second week of gospel meeting. She hasn't come out yet. Her sister's in the meeting. She's listening with one ear, and then one eye and one ear on the TV set, doesn't want to miss a soap opera. And she said to me, I'm seeking God, but I just can't seem to find him. I said, shut that thing off. Shut it off right now. But she turned it off. I said, don't you tell me you're seeking God with all your heart. Don't you tell me that. If you are seeking God, then you get down on your knees. Every night, get down on your knees with the Gospel of John and ask God to open your eyes of understanding. God, reveal thyself to me, God. I want to be saved. Reveal thyself to me. Now that's seeking God with all your heart. I said, you're not seeking God. And she's still not saved. That was 20 years ago. She's still not saved. I don't know why. You know, of all the determination, I will arise and say, I have sinned. That's what God's waiting for you to say that to him. I have sinned. I've been living for me, Lord, all my life living for me. I've sinned against you, but I'm ready to halt. Ten men in the Bible said, I have sinned. And only five actually repented of their sin. What is repentance? Repentance is taking sides with God against me. I thought I was a good person. I thought I was okay. I thought I'd get saved whenever I wanted. But I understand now, I understand. I'm not good. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. And that's what you are. That's what you are. A sinful man, a sinful woman in God's sight. God says you walk in your own way after your own thoughts. That's an evil way. That is sin. Living a life independent of God, just doing your own thing. God says that is sin. That's sin. You turn. God says you turn and you turn now. And come to me and be saved. And then you'll live your life. Then you'll know what it is to live. You don't even know what it is to live yet if you're not saved. Life begins with Christ. So what did he do? Oh, he arose. Decision time, yes? When you're determined, then he made a decision. He arose. He arose and he came to his Father. He arose. You know, to every man appeareth a highway and a low. And every one decideth which way his soul shall go. You decide. God doesn't decide. Nothing in the Bible about that. We decide where I'm going. I choose Christ. I choose heaven. I choose to live my life as I please, without God, without Him reigning over me. I choose hell. That's it, bottom line. You choose where you're going, heaven or hell. The decision led, of course, to that great discovery. Father's waiting for him. He's waiting for his boy. God has been waiting for you all your life. All your life He's been waiting for you. He loves you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's looking at sinners. He's looking at you. He wants to save your soul. The Spirit of God is everywhere in this world, and He's working with sinners about sin. Sin's a problem. It's sin in your life. And He wants you to understand that. Turn to Him. He's standing here waiting. The Father's waiting for His boy. Finally, He sees His boy. Yes, He's coming back to me. He's coming back to me. Changed His mind. He repented. He comes back. And it's a lovely story, isn't it? How lovely it is. Time's gone. We could go on. It's so lovely. A great way off. A great way off. He's looking down that pathway. He's been waiting and waiting and watching for His boy to come every day. Finally, He sees that boy, that figure, that form, that walk, that gait. That's my boy. My boy's come home. And He runs to meet Him. A man running to meet His son. Fell on His neck, kissed Him, embraced Him. He had to have a robe put on Him. Couldn't go back in the Father's house in His rags, could He? Yes? Couldn't do that. We can't go to heaven in our rags either. God says, you know, we are all an unclean thing, Isaiah 64:6. And all our righteousnesses, Matthew 7, they're standing there debating with God. Debating with God. Imagine that. What a wonderful, gracious God He is. He entertains them. He lets them talk. They know they're not going to heaven in Matthew 7. And saying, Lord, we have done many wonderful works in Thy name. 3 times, in Thy name, wonderful works. And then He says this, I will profess unto them. That word profess means, it has the meaning of, yes, I know. I know all the things you did in your life. You thought they were good things, yes? Now, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And that's what you are, friend, today in your seat. If you're not saved, God says you're a worker of iniquity and you're not going to heaven. You're not. If you have no personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty, you're not going to heaven. How solemn is that? Eternal prison house, separated from God for all eternity. What a gracious God He is. And Isaiah says, you know, if you're like those people and you think your good life is going to get you into heaven, He's as filthy rags in my sight, filthy rags. So we understand the great work of the cross. What works of man? What works? Look at the cross of Calvary. There's the greatest work that was ever done in the entire world, ever. It was Christ dying for our sins on the cross. And He's the only way to heaven, friend. He's the only way. God loves you. He had to put a robe on Him. He couldn't go in the, can't go in the Father's house without the robe. Isaiah 61:10 says, He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. The moment I trust Christ, the miracle happens. A garment's put upon me, a garment of salvation, and a robe of righteousness, and I'm now fit for the kingdom of God. I can go into the Father's house. At a university somewhere, I'm not sure where exactly, it was a secular university, and a man is there, and he's studying theology. Now, he doesn't really want to know God. He does not see himself as a sinner. What he wants, this young man said, I want to have a pulpit, that's what I want. Yep. I want to have a collar turned around backwards, and I want people to call me reverend, that's what I want. He didn't see himself as a sinner. Good man, I'm a good man. So he's there studying theology. Across the hall from him was a Christian man. He was studying engineering. Christian man was a happy man. He was a happy young man. Yes, he was. Every day he came out of his room. He had just spent an hour in the presence of God Almighty. No wonder his heart was joyful, cheerful. Every day, man, he bothered the theologian. He really bothered him. because he knew he had his Bible, read his Bible, talked about the Bible, and one day he's walking by and he sees this young man preaching the gospel in the open air. And he enraged him. I'm the one studying theology. He's an engineer. What's he doing? Preaching, for goodness sake. So he walked over to him, this theologian, and he says, "You know something? I can do something you can't do." The young man, the Christian man, said, "Yeah, what is that?" "I can repeat the Lord's Prayer in Latin." "How about that?" The young man smiled. "I can do better than that. I can tell how the Lord saved me in English. How's that? Can you do that? Could you come up here right now? Could you come up here right now, stand right here, and tell everybody here how God saved you? Could you do that? The day that I was born again to God's family." You know, if you can't do that, friend, then you're not saved, are you? You got to have a day. May God bless you. May this be the day that you finally get that matter settled and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We'll pray. Father in heaven, in the name, the worthy name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee and thank thee for the gospel, its simplicity, and its power, Father. And we pray for anyone here, young or old, salvation is of the Lord, Father. We know that thy Holy Spirit must work, may he work, to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious name, amen.